In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, a well-known passage, I'd like to speak on a well-known subject. That is the subject of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Now, if you know all about this, and you don't even have to listen, but I'm the guy that needs it. So, I'll just preach this to me, and I won't even look at you or point any bad fingers at you, all right? I'm just, because it's all for me. I tell you, I like to have more faith in the Lord. I'd like to step out more and do the things that God wants me to do. And I try to do that. It seems like there's hindrances along the way. Of course, the thing we want to look at tonight concerning faith is kind of how it works. And so let's just read Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2, and kind of give us an example here and a subject and a way to start. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. You want a good report? I tell you, when I started in this down this road a long, long time ago, there was one thing that I wanted to do, and that is that I wanted to be pleasing to the Lord regardless of whatever else come along. I mean, that was my thought about it all. And the Bible says here that the only way that I can get a good report, now the good report may not be yours. Alright, it may not be what you think. But what God thinks is what counts. Alright, that's the good report. For by it, the elders obtained the good report. Faith, according to this passage, and you've heard me say this many, many times, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is simply believing what God said and then doing what God said. Remember this, that if you don't do it, there's no faith. You remember that. If you don't do it, you can talk about faith till you're blue in the face. But if you don't do it, you don't have any faith. I mean, that's the way it is. It's one thing to believe, but it's a totally different ball game to perform that thing that you believe. That's different. And sometimes that gets to be interesting, I think, to say the very least. Faith is more than knowledge. You can have all kinds of knowledge. That don't mean you got any faith. Knowledge is good. I believe we ought to study the Bible. I believe that God gave us this book maybe partly to occupy our time, to keep us out of trouble. You know, you reckon He could have done that? To give us something to occupy our mind. So we wouldn't have it off in the gutters of sin somewhere. Maybe, but you know, it's good to have knowledge. But if we don't put any feet on the knowledge we've got, we don't have any faith. The Bible says that faith without action is dead. No faith there at all. We want a living faith and not a dead faith. Acting and performing according to the Scripture. That's what we do. Not according to what we think, but rather according to the Scripture. Faith is a difficult proposition for us that live in these bodies of clay, because it goes directly against our nature. We are creatures of sight. Well, I am. God wants us to be creatures of vision, of spiritual insight. And so He gives us things in our lives, little things that we can overcome in, and then He gives us larger things down the road we can overcome in them. He does that to us. He wants us to see His power and His majesty. He wants us to see how that He can take care of things if we would absolutely, totally turn it all over to Him and just let Him do it. He's able to do abundantly more above than we can ask or think. We need to be reminded. I need to be reminded of that very thing. The nature of faith, as I said, goes against the fleshly grain. The nature of faith is that it's difficult. The nature of living by faith is difficult on this body, because our body is accustomed to seeing and doing. We're accustomed to dealing with the circumstances around us. But faith causes us to rise above circumstances that's around us and to act on that thing that we cannot see. It causes us to act on that thing we cannot touch. But we know that it is there, and we know that God is able to bring it to pass. It's like a woman with child that is in her womb. It is the thing you cannot touch just yet, but you believe it's there. You know it's there. And you long for the day when you will see it and hold that child in your own arms. You long for that. And that's something like the way we live now. Because God has given to us many, many promises, many blessings. And what He wants us to do is to believe Him and trust in Him and let that develop. Doesn't always develop as we think it ought to, but it will always develop. I know for me, I do not want to be behind God, and I don't want to be ahead of Him either. I'd like to be right there where I need to be. And sometimes it's difficult to live and obey by faith. Don't you? The Bible gives us in this Hebrews chapter 11 several examples of people that live by faith. It talks here in verse 4 about Abel. In verse 3, it talks about us. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's us. We are creationists. We believe God created this world. And we believe that because the Bible said it. I was not there. But I believe it because God said it. And because God said it, He's given me faith to believe it. But I believe it because it's in His Word, even though I can't see it. Nobody else, by the way, was there either. Even Adam was created on day 6. He didn't see it either, but he believed God by faith. That's what we ought to believe. The Bible here talks about Enoch in verse 5. The Bible said in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Look at that passage. Now that'll rock you to your boots. Without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. He didn't say that about knowledge. He didn't say that about learning or education, but he said without faith it is impossible to please God. So what is faith? Well, the Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible talks about faith, that it is believing what God said, and of course we know that whatever God said is what we should be performing about. We should be acting on. And when we believe what He said, will do what He said, and He'll perform the end of it. We know that so. Without faith, it's impossible. Look in verse 7. Here it talks about Noah. I tell you, Noah is no less or greater than any. But you see that Noah did a thing that was remarkable. And it shows us about faith. And it does when you talk about Enoch or when you talk about Abel or any of these people that simply obeyed what God said because they believed the Word of God. They believed it and they acted on what they knew about the Word of God. He said in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. And look what he did. And you see here that he moved with fear. That's a reverential respect for the things of God. He knew that God was going to do what He said He was going to do. And God said to Noah, I'm going to destroy this world. I want you to build an ark. for the safety of your family and the animals of this world. I'm going to use you, Noah, to preserve life upon this earth. And that's what he did. You say, well, it's nothing. Noah built that boat. I mean, that's a kind of weekend project. And by the way, it was kind of secret as well. He could do that in the privacy of his own backyard. Cover it up with wisteria vines and nobody would ever see it. I don't think so. How long do you think? Think about it. How long would it take you to build something like that? And you say, well, with their primitive tools. I'm not sure they only had primitive tools. I mean, I'm not sure. In my own mind, if you took modern day tools, how long would it take you to get the lumber together to build the ark? I mean, you had a gasoline-powered chainsaw to cut down all the trees. And you had a super-duper electronic computer-controlled sawmill to cut all the lumber. You say, but Noah didn't have one. I'm just talking about if we had that stuff. How long would it take us to get together enough lumber just to build the ark, much less put the thing together? It would take us a long time just to build the scaffolding to put it together. And by the way, somebody's got to buy the material. I mean, this man acted on faith. He believed what God said, and he began to build the ark. The Bible said that he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now that's he obeyed the Lord. And you'll see here in what he did that he not only saved his own household, and he did, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And here's a guy, Noah. He stood out like a sore thumb in a world that was going against God and everything that God said. Kind of like it is today. Doesn't the Bible say as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man? Hey, it's one and the same, isn't it? Look at this. God has given to us an opportunity to be like Noah. Wow! So you're kidding me. No. God today has given us an opportunity to be like Noah. It's mentioned in our prayer service. Make me be more like Lot and less like Enoch. No, the other way around. Less like Lot and more like Enoch. Right. You know, we have an opportunity to be like Enoch today. Not convinced. And we have an opportunity today to be like Enoch. We have an opportunity today to be like Noah. We're living in the last of the last days. Noah stuck out like a sore thumb. And I don't know how he built that ark. I don't know the number of people that was there. I can speculate. Anybody else can. I don't know how much scaffolding he had to build. I don't know about all of that. I don't know where he had to gather up all that tar and pitch and bring that ugly, dark, sticky stuff in there to put on those boards on the outside, the inside, between the boards. I don't know all about boat construction. I don't know how he did all that. But here's a man who obeyed what God said. And he said here that he was moved with fear. He prepared this ark to the saving of his house. He condemned the world. And he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Why? How did he do that? You see, he believed God when God said he's going to destroy this world, but Noah also acted on what God told him. And that's what it takes. So I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. Well, just stick out. This old world needs a sore thumb to look at. Me. And the Bible says, when we do our good works, we don't do those to be seen of men. But the Bible also says that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And if they don't glorify God, well, that's their problem. It's certainly not mine. And so here is a man, Noah, who was told of God to do one thing, and that's what he did. And maybe God has just told you to do one thing, just one thing. What are you going to do about it? God told you one thing. So I'm not going to do that because it's not big enough. Not good. Here's the thing. If you won't do the little things, you're sure not going to do the big things. I found that out a long time ago. Found that out about me. You can get all concerned about the big things and how you want to be big in this and big in that. But if you don't do the little things, you're not going to ever amount to nothing. As far as the eyes of God, God says, here's what I want. And He just gave Noah one thing to do. And that's it. Notice something else here in verse 8. It talks about Abraham. Did you know Abraham was never ordered or asked of God? God never did ask Abraham to build an ark. Isn't that astounding? He never did. Well, I wonder why. Because he didn't need one. That's simple enough. He didn't need an ark. But you look at this. Did you know that God never said to Noah, I want you to leave where you live and go somewhere else? Did God say that to Noah? No. God said, Noah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build me an ark. For the saving of your house, to condemn the wicked, and to make yourself an heir of the righteousness of faith. Here's what I want you to do. Noah, you build the ark. Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. I'm going to make of you a great nation. That promise was not to Noah. What's that telling us? It's saying this, that we need to do what God tells us to do. Whatever that is. Whatever that is. So, I don't know what God's telling me to do. Well, I found this in my life. I've just found it for me. That if you don't start in that one thing, you'll never find out what the other thing is. I'm guilty of looking for the other thing when I need to be busy with the one thing. Because if I don't do the one thing that's in front of me, I'm not going to do the other thing that's coming later. I'm not going to do it. Because just as I wouldn't do the one thing, I won't do the other thing either. But if I do the one thing, then I'll do the other thing. That's called growing up. It's called sanctification. Progressive sanctification. That's what it's called. You see, here's what he said to Abraham. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do something, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. But I want you to obey me. I want you to leave. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I just want you to leave. What a trip. You look at this in verse 8. This is exactly what it's saying. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now that's faith. That's faith because God didn't tell him. He said, you go. You go. What I want you to do right now, I want you to go. Start walking. Which way, Lord? This way. How far? When I tell you to stop. Would you like some orders like that? I said, not me, man. I want to know where I'm going. Well, that don't make any sense. That's what I'm saying. Faith is a trial. Faith is difficult for us to own this old flesh. Because you don't know the end of where you're going. You don't know what's around the next corner. You don't know what's around the next bend. God does. But in obeying the Lord, you do what's in front of you and you believe that promise that God's given to you and you let God take care of the rest of you. You don't try to control the destiny. You don't try to do that. When you try to control the end of it, you're standing in the way of God. You ever stood in the way of God? I'll not look. I'm not going to do that. I tell it, every one of us has got stuff fixed in our minds that hinders us in the service of the Lord. Every one of us. Every one of us. Now, there's no exception to this. But it sure is tough to get that out of there. That's why faith is a trial. That's why it is. The Bible said in verse 9 concerning Abraham, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And you'll read in the book of Genesis, I was going to say 19, but I think it's 13, where God said to Abraham, after Lot left, and I think it's chapter 13, yes. In chapter 13 and verse 14, after Lot left, that's when the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from that, I'm reading in Genesis 13, verse 14, He said, okay, now you lift up your eyes and you look northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. This is where you're going. And he was already there. Wow. Isn't that something? So I think that's some things we need to remember about faith. Faith is against the grain of this flesh. But it is a blessing from the Lord, unspeakable, whenever we do what God wants us to do. God will take care of the things that we're the most concerned and anxious about. And that leads me down to the next fella. And his name is Moses, the one I'm going to mention here, in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:23 talks about Moses. Moses had faith all around him because his parents, when he was born, they saw that he was a proper child, a goodly child, a child chosen of God. They hid him from the onslaughts of Pharaoh, who had given the decree that all the little boy babies be killed. Aaron was not involved in that. Aaron was older brother than Moses, and he was not involved in that command at all. He was too old. But Moses was right there. You know why that is? You know why the Bible states that and tells us that? It's so that we can understand exactly which Pharaoh it is in Egypt that is leading this onslaught against the people of God. That's why the Bible does that. The Bible said in verse 24, of course they put Moses in that ark of the bulrushes. And then in verse 24, Moses, when he came to years by faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't want that. He was adopted into the Egyptians, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, adopted into that family. But he refused that. He was an Israelite, and God put that in him. And Moses acted on faith here. The Bible said in verse 24, 24. In verse 25, he said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So, Moses, by faith, was looking to the things that he could do. And Moses, when the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, chose to be with them in bondage in Egypt. Instead of being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the Bible said in verse 26 and 27, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasuries in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, that is, unto the end of what both were. Moses, as he looked at where he was going, Moses, as he looked at the direction that his life was taking, understood that he could have stayed in Egypt and had all the riches of Egypt for himself. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was educated in their courts. He was eligible to be the ruler of the land of Egypt. But he said, no, I'm looking at the way my life is going to go. I don't want to go that way. I want to go the way of faith. And so instead of going that way of the Egyptians, he chose to go with the affliction of the Israelites. That's what it says here in this place. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You say, well, in verse 27, this is silly. By faith he forsook Egypt. Well, no. He forsook Egypt because he was scared Pharaoh was going to kill him. Let me tell you a little story here. Where was Moses when he was called of God to go to the land of Egypt to deliver the Israelites? And I know you can say, well, he's 40 years old, he's living in Egypt. That's true. But he was 80 years old, living down there in Midian, married with a couple children, I'm supposing, and settled as the life of a lonely shepherd and pretty content. And God said, Moses, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. Said, Moses, I want you to go back. And the man that had committed murder in Egypt and ran for his life had to go back. I want you to look at this. God did not ask Moses to build an ark. God didn't ask Abraham to build an ark. God said, that's Noah's job. You know what? All of our jobs are different. All of our jobs are different. God didn't ask Moses to go back to the land of Ur of the Chaldees. Do you know that? God never did say to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to go back to the land of Ur so that I can fulfill my promises to you. Never did do that. That's what he told Moses. I want you to go back to the place where you ran before. Because you've got to face that. But he told Abraham, of course, to leave Ur of the Chaldees. And Moses, he told to go back to the land of Egypt. What are we saying here? Faith is against this old human body and the reasonings of the mind. Faith is against it all. But you know what faith is? Faith is believing what God said and acting on what God said. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You know God's going to take care of it. Say, how's He going to do it? I don't know, none of my business. My business is to do what God said to do. God's business is to take care of His end of it. He always will. There's no doubt about that. God will do that.
Moses said when God told him he wants him to go back, he said, don't think so. Remember that? Moses said, I don't think so. Lord, see, I got this problem, Lord. You ever tell the Lord you got a problem? As if he didn't know. But see, has God just laid something on your heart? He's laid something on you. And you know what he said. But you think you can't do it? Reminds me of Moses. That's what Moses thought. And God said, now Moses, you can go. Moses, I can't talk. I'll be with your mouth. I'll give you the words to say. Lord, I can't talk. Send somebody else. Lord said, Moses, you're going. And you're going to get a spokesperson that's going to be an aggravation to you. But you're going. You know, and I wonder this. Maybe I shouldn't even mention it. But I think I will. I wonder. Did God ever call somebody to do something and they really never ever did it? Maybe he'll let you consider that a little bit. You get into all kinds of theological stuff. But I just wonder. You know, Aaron had a grandson named Phinehas, who was in line to be the high priest. And Phinehas saw the nation of Israel in great whoredom against God. There was a lot of difficulty going on there. And Phinehas saw the Israelites, some of the Israelites in their tent door weeping because of the turmoil they were in, how they had rejected God, and they were in mourning and praying about it. And Phinehas saw a Babylonian woman, I think. Maybe a Midianite-ish woman that came in to be with an Israelite man. I think that's a story. And they were committing adultery in the tent. And Phinehas saw it. He also saw the mourning. You know what he did? He got his spear. He went in that tent and killed them both. Wow. That'd kind of be interesting. But you know what he gained for that? I mean, he did that by faith because he knew that was what God wanted him to do. And because of that, he received a recompense from the Lord that there would be priests in his family from then on. And I won't read all that, but that's what happened. But that's faith. That's faith. Moses was a man of great faith. You know, faith is acting on what God's Word said when there's no evidence at all that God will do what He said He would do. All you have is His Word. That's all you've got. Let me, if you would, look in the book of Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. And there's, I'm just going to read this one. But there's lots of these in the Bible concerning especially Moses because he performed several miracles. In the book of Exodus chapter 8, in verse 1, and this is just one, there's lots of these in the Bible. And you could go back and with Moses,
when Moses acted on what he knew God would do, and of course here he's also acting on what God knew he knew God would do, but in this case he's never seen this particular thing happen. Okay, so Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go that they may serve me. If thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. The river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and unto thy people and unto thine ovens and unto thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants." Now that's what God said. How many frogs was in the land at that time? Well, no extra. No extra. God just said, you go in and tell Pharaoh that I'm going to bring frogs in there. How many frogs is extra? Not a one. Verse 4. Well, verse 5. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying to Pharaoh, saying to Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with a rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt." How many frogs was on the land right then? No extra. They weren't there yet. See, they weren't there yet. Well, don't you think it'd be good, you know, if God had sent along just a few just to let Moses know that they were going to happen? Now, see, that's where we are. We're asking God to give us some signs that what you say, you will really do. And God is saying, you stretch forth your rod. Lord, I want to see a few frogs. Just show me, just let one miraculous little tiny frog appear right there. Then I'll know that your word is so. You ever tried that on the Lord? No. What does he say? He said, you just stretch forth your rod. I'll bring the frogs. But you stretch forth your rod before any frogs appear. See, that's what he did. And he says in verse 6, "And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up." You see how that works. Now, that is acting on faith. That is believing this thing. I mean, that is doing it. And God is performing what He said He would do. And God will always do that, but He'll never do it until we step out by faith believing what He said. But this old flesh says, no, you show me, and then I'll believe it. No, God says, I've told you, you believe it, you act on it, and then I'll show you. That's the way it works. The Bible said that the frogs came up, they covered the land of Egypt. The Bible says, you know, faith without works is dead. Being alone. Faith without works is dead. So if we don't believe God, we will not stretch forth a rod, and there will be no miracle. That's what he's saying. We need to believe the Lord. We need to believe Him, trust Him. That's faith, believing what He's saying. Look here in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. The Israelites, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing in this place, the influence of these folks. Numbers chapter 13. You'll see in this place, here is where the 12 spies came back from searching out the land of Canaan. And 10 of the spies brought a bad report, and 2 of them brought a good report. Joshua and Caleb, they said, yes, the land's exactly like God said, and we need to go in and take the land because we can do it. We can do it. And I want to read verse 30. Of course, 10 of the spies, they brought back an evil report. They said, oh, it's too big, it's too much, we can't do it. God's going to kill us and all that kind of stuff. But in verse 30, Caleb believed what God said.
against all odds. That's what we need to do, is believe what God said. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once. Let's not even wait an instant. Let's go and possess it." Don't you look at his words. "Let us go up tomorrow." That's not what he said. "Let us go up at once. Let's not tarry." He did not say, Caleb did not say, "Let's go up and see if we can do anything." What did he say? "Let's go up and possess it." He had an idea, and God put it in his heart, God put it in his mind. "Let's go up and take it. Let's not go and see what we're going to do. Let's not go up and see if we can defeat these guys. Let's just go up and possess it. Let's go, let's go set up housekeeping up there. God, give that to us. Let's go." When? Now. But the men that went up, in verse 31, with him said, "We be not able to go up against this people. They're stronger than we." Amen. That's the truth. But they're not stronger than God. God said, go. You know what's amazing to me? If you think about this. 10 men stopped 2 million from going. 10 men stopped 2 million from going because they didn't believe God. And there was 2 million people that listened to men instead of God. Now that's kind of scary. And there were 600,000 men that went up, and I'm just adding women and children all that together here to get that 2 million. But if you want to say 600,000, I'm tickled to death of that too. Because 10 men stopped 600,000 men from doing what was right. Boy, that's scary. Who are you? Who am I? Am I Caleb? Or am I one of these other guys whose names I've forgotten? Huh? Who am I? Can my life really stop others from stepping out on faith? It happened here. It happened here. That's the way it is. Caleb was encouraged because he believed God. The others were afraid. Not only here in this place did 10 men of the nation of Israel stop the whole nation from going into the promised land, but hindered them for 40 years because that people listened to the men instead of to God. And that's pretty serious. We need to be listening to what God says. God will take care of all the rest of it. We need to believe what He says. But another thing, you understand that there was a time in the history of Israel that one man who was not an Israelite stopped the entire nation of Israel from having a victory. Remember that? His name was Goliath. Big old guy. Big old guy with a loud voice and impressive armor stood out and defied the armies of the living God. And it took a little old bitty guy named David to come along and say, "What in the world is going on here?" Because David had faith and trust and hope in God. You think about that. Sometimes our enemies keep us from stepping forward for the Lord. And sometimes it's our friends that keep us from stepping forward for the Lord. Wow. Blows me away. You know what? It behooves me very much that I listen to the Lord. That was Brother Andy's devotion this morning. Bless my soul. I need to listen to the Lord. Whatever God says is what I need to do. That's exactly right. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Let me read you one more passage and I'm going to close out. The book of James chapter 4 and verse 23. And I started to take my text here from the book of James in this place, but used Hebrews instead. I know that some folks, they take their Bibles and they mark down, you know, where the subject is and the date they preacher preached that. So mine's probably got Hebrews 11 about 16 times on it because I preached out of that verse a whole bunch. But I make no apologies for it. Thank the Lord wanted me to say it. The book of James chapter 4 and verse 1, 2, and 3. Just look at this. Now this hits me. We've sung the songs tonight about praying. We've sung the songs tonight about living for the Lord, and we've come to worship the Lord and all those good songs. But don't you look what it says here in this place. It's a rebuke. James chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? And come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members?" That's me. "You lust and have not. You kill, desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not." Isn't that a simple solution? That's faith. That's faith. This here in verse 2 is talking about just maneuvering. Here, juggling, working the odds. And you struggle and struggle and you have not. Why? Because you never even asked the Lord. You just did what you thought was best. Boy, that's me. I tell you who my worst enemy is. And it ain't you. Brother, it's me. And I want to have faith. Listen, I want to believe God. I want to do things for God. I want to live for the Lord. I want to die in honor to the Lord. But the only way that can happen is every day do what God tells me to do. And every day to realize and know this for absolute certain, that the reason I don't have is because I don't ask. Then look in verse 3, because he kind of continues in this same line of thought here. And he continues it in chapter 4 for a while, but we're not going to cover a lot of those. He said, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust." And God won't give it to you if you're going to brag on yourself, not Him. You're not going to do it, see? And he goes on, talks about adulterers and adulteresses. You can't have friendship with the world and expect God to give you anything. You can't do it. You can't do it. And he goes on and he tells us how we ought to draw nigh to God. I mean, that's what he's saying. And God will bless and God will take care, because God loves us and there's nothing He won't do for us. But you just remember that in this thing of faith, God doesn't think the way we think. He doesn't do it. And faith is a trial. It's a real energy zapper. Well, I mean, it really is. And faith is not logical sometimes, but it is scriptural. It'll be exactly scriptural. Faith is just a blessing. And I think I'm like the disciples when they said, "Increase our faith." And I think sometimes if I had about a bushel basket of that stuff, I think I might handle it. Then Jesus said, "Well, you know, if you got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain." And I'm thinking, "Well, I sure don't have very much." And then he says to the servants when they ask, "Increase our faith." And Jesus said to them, "In fact," he said, "what you're wanting is to feel good about what you're doing. But what I'm telling you is that you keep serving me. The time to feel good is later." Because what Jesus told them, so what about the servant that's out and he's worked hard all day and he comes in, the master comes in, who gets to eat first? And people said, "Well, the master eats first." Yep. You're looking to be served. And you need to keep serving. That's what he's saying. So faith is a thing that we need, I need. And I ask that you pray for me that I might be able to live in faith more, be pleasing to God in the things, whatever happens to me. I want to believe God rather than men. And that's the message for tonight. I trust it's been a help to you. It has been to me. I've preached it to myself all last night. So this morning, today was just a rerun. I mean, I don't know. But I get this MP3 and I listen to that one and I need worked over about it. Because I need more faith. I just need to live in faith and trust the Lord. To struggle for me to do that. Because I always see what's in front of me. And I need to see the Lord high and lifted up of all things. If you're tonight, you're lost. I pray that God will bless you with salvation. I trust that the Lord would help you and cause you to be burdened about your sins, that you might come confessing Jesus Christ as your only Savior and ask Him to save you, ask Him to forgive you, and trust the Lord tonight that He might redeem you eternally from your wickedness and from your sins. I pray God will bless tonight in this service with salvation, because only God can do that. If you're lost, then I pray tonight God will touch you and you'll be saved. We're going to stand if you would. Brother John, if you'd come and lead us in this song, please. Let's stand as we sing. Pray God will bless tonight.